Thank you for standing. Just remain standing, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter number 6. I'm glad my sins are gone. Amen. You asked me why I'm happy. I got a lot to be happy about. Amen. My sins are gone. Washed out. I like that. Amen. My sins are washed out. He didn't tear a page out of the book. He blotted our sins out. Amen. With His precious blood. Amen. Took that handwriting of ordinance that was against us, blotting them out. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And so I'm so glad that He did with His own precious blood. Amen. And I appreciate that song. I'm glad we can sing songs about experience, something that we know about. As I said this morning about our Lord making these promises, they're not theory, they're fact. And these promises of salvation, I can attest to the fact that it's not a theory. It's a fact. God saves sinners. Amen. And we can rejoice in the fact that we know that for a fact. Amen. We know it for a fact. The world thinks that, you know, this is just, that's a good idea. I've been reading some of these men that are working, for example, with the Chinese in China. Of course, it's communist government, communist school system, somewhat like the United States. The communist school system has brainwashed those young people into believing that a truth in America might not be a truth in China. For example, the gospel may work for people in America, but it won't work for people in China. And I'm glad to report to you that the gospel works anywhere.
Amen.
Amen. It works anywhere. And I'm glad it does. Amen. It works anywhere, anytime. God's power, God's hand is not shortened that He cannot save. God's power is not lessened. Amen. He has all power in heaven and earth, and we certainly can rejoice in that. Amen. And so I'm glad for that. All right, Matthew chapter number 6. And by the way, we looked outside when we took a little break there, and everything had stopped. Amen. No more sleet or freezing rain coming down. No more snow at the moment. And all that, so praise the Lord for that. But I do say be careful going home. There could and probably will be slick spots. Anything that's wet probably just looks wet. It's not wet. It's froze more than likely. And so be careful, and we'll pray for one another. Amen, as we do travel. Another thing is the deer out on the road. They like to ice skate for some reason. They like to get out there when it's bad. Amen. And amen. All right, well, Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 25 is where we're picking up this evening. Matthew 6, 25, reading down through verse number 34. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than raiment? Than meat, and the body than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more or much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us, please? Yes, Lord, thank you. Help, Lord. Yes, you know her mind, Frank. Yes. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. We've been studying this section for some time now, Lord willing. We're going to complete it tonight and hopefully be ready to move on to the next chapter in the days ahead of us. But as we've been studying it, this last section dealing with Christ's counsel, different things that He's dealt with, the counsel, He deals with piety, He deals with prayer, He deals with giving of gifts, and I can't get that word to come to my mind as He's giving out the gifts, but here He's dealing with perturbed, people being perturbed, and we call it perturbation. He is dealing with the fact that people often get, what's the word I'm looking for? They get sidetracked by the world. We get, just like a train needs to stay on track. Amen. And when a train gets derailed, a lot of times there's a lot of damage takes place because of that derailment. Well, in the case of our thoughts and our life, the Lord wants us not to be derailed. Amen. He wants us to be able to stay on track. So He's dealing with this thing about our heart and our eyes being focused, our mind being focused on God. And I dealt with this counsel, the introduction, and then the instructions. And in the instructions, I said to you, there's the cure for anxiety found in verse number 33. And there's the cause or the reason, the characteristics for why to condemn anxiety. And when I dealt with that last Sunday night, the condemning of anxiety, this morning I dealt with the cure. I mentioned to you that the cure is encapsulated in one verse, verse number 33, where it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But I said that that is the stated cure for anxiety. He gives you the statement. But there's the shaded cure in all these verses, because all these verses not only have a condemnation for anxiety, saying don't worry, but He's given you some good reasons that you can see that are at least inferred, if not directly stated in the verses. So when we consider the abundant care that God gives to His creatures, certainly He'll take care of His children. I mean, you would think if a man's good to his dog, he'd be good to his children. You would think if a man would feed his hog, if a man would groom his horse, that he'd be good to his children. Amen. God is not only good to His creatures, He's good to His children. Amen. He's a heavenly Father to us. He's their Creator. He's our Creator as well. But He wants to be and is more than your Creator if you're saved by the grace of God. Amen. He's your Father. And so when we recognize the abundant care that the Almighty gives to His creatures, it ought to cause us not to be anxious. Amen. It ought to calm. It ought to have a calming effect. And then also when we recognize the afflicting character of anxiety, how it bothers. It does no good, does absolutely no good in worrying. Amen. Joshua was telling me that one of the things that they were dealing with, I believe he said Lee Watts himself was dealing with in the thing at the Christians at the Capitol Friday, was talking about the push for the legalization of marijuana. And he made the statement that one of their pushes for the whole, you'll laugh when you hear this, but it's sad at the same time. One of the things they're using are vets, particularly Vietnam and now current veterans is coming back with PTSD. They're saying that marijuana helps them cope with that disease. Medical marijuana. That's what they're pushing at. Medical marijuana. Well, now, one of the things he said, and this is very interesting, he said, you don't want to jump on that bandwagon too quick for two reasons. He said, one reason is it federal law? Federal law that if you get a license to take marijuana, you surrender your guns. Surrender guns if you're going to take marijuana. But the second reason, this is the most important reason, and I'm going somewhere, like Brother Gray said, stay with me. I've got somewhere I'm going with this. The second thing he said was, what does it help? Does it solve problems? No. It just masks problems. Amen. Just like getting drunk. Amen. And that's really what it is. It is getting, it's intoxicating your mind. And so it's not, it doesn't solve one thing. All it does is cause you not to think about your problems. And they say that the average, lasting effects of it is 2 to 3 hours. And Brother Watt said breakfast to lunch lasts better, longer than that. Amen. But it doesn't fix anything. Well, listen, the thing I'm saying, worry is worse than smoking marijuana. It don't even let you quit thinking about your trouble. It just keeps you thinking about your trouble. But don't fix anything. It doesn't fix anything. And so tonight I want to think on the shaded cure of anxiety. By the way, I'm going to cover all these verses if I can. And I want you to see, this is what gets me when I study this. We're serving such a good God. He's not beating us over the head saying, "You sorry rascal for doubting me." Although he could, because he's so good. How dare us question him? He's so good, how dare us doubt him? But we do, because we're human. And so he gives us these arguments that might just boost us a little bit and bolster our confidence in our God. Let's look back at these verses together, and I'm going to look at them one by one and not deal a long time with any one of them, Lord willing, if I don't get bogged down in it, but hopefully show you some things that'll help you. Verse number 25. I'm talking about the shaded cure. Now the stated cure, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But the shaded cure, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now this is not just advice saying don't worry. This is a command saying don't worry. Therefore, now listen, if you get this, is simple, so simple. But if we just obey his command, it would help us to stop worrying. We wouldn't be anxious over things if we just believed what he said, if we just practiced what he said. But there's a deeper truth here. Our Lord makes the statement, and I'm paraphrasing it when I say don't worry. Take no thought, it does not mean don't think, but it means don't let your thoughts be troubled. Don't be full of anxious care. Don't allow these things to overwhelm you and feel like you're going under. So Christ sets out this set of facts for us to direct our minds toward. And this is the facts that he said, and he states it with a question. He said, don't you have some things more important to worry about? Your life is more than meat. Your body is more than raiment. Amen. The question actually implies the statement that there are things more serious than the things that we allow to clog up our mind. Many times those worries we worry about really are small things. And matter of fact, a lot of them are nothing. They're just what ifs. They're not actual tangible things. They're what if or maybe. Or perhaps, or I might. Amen. But we allow those non-tangible or very little things to clog up our mind and to cake up the walls of our mind that we can't think of anything else, and we can't see those things that are more important. Amen. I have literally seen people that were so worried about, for example, I've seen mothers so worried about not being a good mother that they can't be a mother. I mean, literally, they can't take care of the child they have because they're worrying about not being able to take care of more. Right. I've seen men so worry about doing the job and getting things done exactly right that they can't do the job that's right in front of them because they're worried about something for tomorrow or worried about something else on down the road. Amen. Matter of fact, I say I've seen that. I've been there. You probably have as well. That we allow those little thoughts to get to be so big, we magnify them. Why? Because our focus gets off. We magnify them to the point that it stops us and hinders us from being able to deal with those important things. There's our Lord, it's as if he's saying this, you ought to be thinking on a higher plane. Your life's more important than your food is. your body is more important than your raiment is. And so he said you ought to be thinking on a higher plane. There are things much more important to consume your mind and to consume your energy and your time upon. Amen. Then the second one in verse number 26, he says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And again he asks the question, are ye not much better than they? Christ started out telling you, you're thinking too small. You're worrying about these other issues that are small, you've made big, and you need to be thinking on a higher plane. But then he directs your mind from the higher plane to the lower plane and says, God's not just taking care of things way up here. He's taking care of things down here. If he's taking care of things up here and he's taking care of things down here, I suspect everything in between is going to fit in there somewhere. Amen. And so our Lord points to the birds, the fowls of the air, and he says to us, he says, God Almighty has care even for these dumb creatures that he made. Amen. I'm not an anti-environmental, but I'm not an environmental. I'm not a tree hugger. Amen. But I'm at the same time, I don't necessarily think you ought to just want every tree to die or just every animal to die. I'm not that kind of, you know, that kind of narcissist and that kind of thought. But I'm saying this, God cares about his animals. He don't put them on a higher plane than humans, but he takes care of them on their level where they are. God's so good that he takes care of them. God, he talks about these birds, and he says God cares for these fowl of the air. They're hungry creatures. I touched on that last week, I think in the morning service maybe, about how that the birds eat. They consume so many calories they need. They burn up so many calories and they need to eat such a large amount considering their weight. Birds are hungry creatures. And yet God has not given them the knowledge or the ability to plow or to plant. That's what he said. He said they don't sow nor reap. They don't plant nor sow. Amen. They don't gather it into barns. God's not given them that wisdom. Amen. Birds build their nests. I don't remember seeing any of them build storage buildings on the side. Packing up extra. They don't have that. They just have a bare, I mean just a few sticks, amen. The bare necessity of a nest. They don't have barns. That's what our Lord's saying. God hasn't given them that knowledge, but he has me and you. And yet, the fact he hasn't given them that knowledge and he hasn't given them that ability, and yet God takes care of them, don't you think? Since he loved us more than he loves the birds, and he loved us enough to give us that knowledge, and he loved us enough to give us that ability, don't you think God will take care of us if we'll just do what he's given us, the knowledge and ability to do?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's not going to let them go hungry, and I believe he'll feed you and I as well. Christ clearly states it's your Heavenly Father that feeds them. Verse 26, behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. It's your Father that feeds them. Then he asks this question, are ye not much better than they? Let me ask you a question. Why are we better than they? Why are we better than birds? It's not because we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It's not because we're higher evolved creatures. It's because God made us that way. Just the providence of God. And if you want to say, just the sovereign hand of God made me and you humans rather than birds. Amen. Just God. So, how did he do that? Did we have to worry about it? No, we didn't have to worry about it. He just did it. He just did it because he's a good God. Amen. And so the point I'm getting there is God made us better. He's the one put us on this higher plane of existence. We didn't strive to get there. We didn't work our way to be there. God placed us on that higher plane. But we're better off than the birds. Not just better than, we're better off than the birds. Because we do actually have the ability and the knowledge to plow and to plant and to reap and to put things into barns. Amen. God has given us that ability. But ultimately, we're better off than the birds because not only is God our Creator, but He's our Heavenly Father. I'm talking to saved people now. I know there's lost people that are humans, just as human as you and I are, above the birds in that extent. But they're not saved by the grace of God. They don't have the right to call God their Father. So let me ask this. Why should we worry and be anxious in life when we have a Heavenly Father? Amen. He's caring for us. Amen. Amen. I mentioned earlier in this study that birds, these birds that he's talking about here, are not domesticated birds. He talks about them as being fowls of the air. They're not the chicken in the barnyard. They're not the poultry that's in some kind of a fenced-in place or something like that. These are birds that have no farmer or no caretaker to take care of them. And then I pointed out the large demand that they have on consumption of food. They take a lot of food. Amen. I want to direct your thoughts just a minute about and back to that. I want you to think about that just a minute. These wild birds that he's talking about. These birds that Christ speaks about our Heavenly Father feeding on a daily basis. They're not caged. They're not trained birds. They're not seen by humans. They're not cared for by humans. They're not seen, they're not known, and they're not cared for by humans. But they are seen, and they are known, and they are cared for by your Heavenly Father. Amen. You ever feel like nobody knows where I'm at? Nobody knows what I'm going through? God said, behold the fowl of the air.
That's right.
Nobody knows where they're at. God does. God does. And takes care of them even though nobody knows where they're at. Not only nobody knows where they are, nobody cares where they are. Amen. God knows. God cares. You feel like nobody knows, and then of course the devil will tell you nobody cares. Nobody cares. There's a God in heaven that knows about the birds. He knows where you are. Amen. He knows what you're going through. He cares what you're going through. Your Heavenly Father, behold the fowls of the air. Your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Amen. The next time the devil comes and attacks you with your mind and says to you, nobody knows, remind him, behold the fowl of the air. The next time the devil says, nobody cares for you, remind him, behold the fowls of the air. Amen. God cares for them. Take a lesson from the birds. Amen. Take a lesson from the birds. You don't have to worry about who knows where you are. You don't have to worry about who cares about you. Because you got a Heavenly Father. You know what your job to do? Just sing like the birds do. Just sing. Why should I worry or fear and dread? Although problems unsolved seem to be. Can't you remember what Jesus said? Take your burdens and come to me. Why should we worry when we've got a Father in heaven caring for us like He cares for the fowl of the air? Now here's something else. I touched on that thought before about nobody knows where they are. They're in the wild. A word we use for the wild, they're in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness and they're hungry and nobody knows and nobody cares. There's no McDonald's out in the wilderness. There's no drive-thrus out in the wilderness. There's no microwave ovens out in the wilderness. I'll ask the question, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Yes, He can. Amen. He does for the birds every single day. He did for the children of Israel every single day for 40 years while they wandered through the wilderness, while they marched on their way to Canaan land. God dropped food out of heaven every day for the children of Israel. He can do it for me and you. He did it for Elijah. Elijah said, it ain't going to rain. If it don't rain, that means there ain't no crops growing. God said, you go sit by the brook. You know what God did? God brought bread and flesh to Elijah, almost said Job, to Elijah by the ravens. The birds, where did the birds get it? God provided it for the birds, and God's providing it for you. I imagine when
when Elijah might have, if he got worried about it, Elijah was a man given to worry. You see it later on. Elijah, if he got worried about it, Lord, what am I going to eat? God said, behold the fowl of the air. And when he beheld the fowl of the air, he had a hamburger in his hand. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It might have been a T-bone steak. Amen. But seriously, the idea that I got here, God saying these birds, think about the birds. They're in the wilderness. Maybe you're in the wilderness. God cares for them when they're there. And you're better than they are. Amen. One last thing to note about these birds in the wilderness. They're wild birds. They're untamed birds. And yet, they're cared for by God. You were once wild, wasn't you? There's one time you wasn't in the Lord's barnyard. You wasn't a domesticated bird. There's a time you was wild. There's a time you did what you wanted to do and nobody cared for your soul except the Heavenly Father. Didn't He take care of you when you was a wild bird? If He took care of you when you was a wild bird, don't you think He'll take care of you today when you're His own pet bird? Amen. When you belong to Him? Amen. You're no longer a wild bird. You're one of His chosen children. Amen. We're much better. Much better than the birds are. Amen. Because the goodness of God. We're His own little children. God will take care of us. Look at verse 27. But which of you, by taking thought, can add one stature, one cubit, unto his stature? I mentioned earlier that this verse shows the futility of anxiety, that it doesn't help anything. Amen. I said, so let's say you spend hours worrying about a certain something. What does it accomplish? Nothing of value. It may make your ulcers bigger or bleed. It may cause your head to hurt. It may cause a lot of problems, but it doesn't actually produce and do any good thing. Christ here points to the inability of the mind to cause us to grow. In other words, we can't just make up our mind that we're going to get taller and it be so. Amen. You can't just make up your mind. And I find this, some people worry about being too short and their friends worry about being too tall. Some people worry about being too fat. And the rest of us worry about being too thin. It's amazing. People worry. Oh, I can't do a thing when my hair is just too curly. Oh, I can't do a thing when my hair won't curl. Oh, I can't. We worry. Isn't that true? I'm not just making fun of women and putting down on women. I'm talking about humans. Pick it today. It's too cold, but tomorrow it'll be too hot. It's too wet today, but it'll be too dry just a few days from now. And the problem is, it's almost like we make it a full-time job just to worry. But it don't help. And the Lord's showing us the futility of it. It does not help. It doesn't change your mind. Now, I mentioned that a cubit is roughly 18 inches. When I figure measurements in the Bible with a cubit, that's what I know they say. It's from your hand to your elbow, and it's somewhere between 18 and 22 inches that they say generally. So give it an 18-inch measurement. That's a good even. You can figure that. A foot and a half is a cubit. That's a whole lot to grow. That's a lot to grow. I mean, Mama checked me. I think I just grew another cubit. She's going to say, I don't think so. Amen. That's not talking about that little angel with the bow and arrow that they're going to talk about Wednesday. That's Cupid. This is a cubit. Amen. Mama, check me. I think I've just grown. But when you're little, like Landon is over here, can I get him? I told him I might use him as illustration right here. When you're his, now I say little, look at him. Little like this little feller. Amen. He's not sure about this. Little like this little feller. How old is he? 9 months old. 9 months old. I ain't going to yawn. I know what that does. Amen. I need to set you down and let you carry me. Amen. Yeah. But here's what I was thinking about. When you're this size, 9 months ago, he was just born. But prior to that, Miss Kristen has got a baby in her belly, as we say. She's got a child in the womb. But these mamas, you ladies that's been mamas, did you have to think, boy, I gotta concentrate because he's growing a hand. I gotta concentrate. It's okay. Okay. All right. He thought I won't say it. But seriously, when that baby's growing in the womb, it grows almost that scale. I mean, buddy, it's growing. It is going from a microscopic cell to a, we'd say, a fully developed infant. All right, that's probably the best way to say that. It grows, that grows on a massive scale. You know when it does it? When nobody sees it. When nobody's helping it. I mean, I realize mamas have the ability, and y'all to be careful what you eat and all that kind of stuff. You know, what all that. I understand that. But it's without a lot of worry. It's without a lot of thought going into it. You know, how does it happen? God does it. Our Lord said, how did you do it? How did you get to be the size you are? Did you worry about it and get there? No. No. Most of us got to be the size we are here by not worrying when we should have been paying attention. Amen. But the thought, and I believe it's what the point that he's dealing with here. He's saying, growing and your body, you're worrying about your body and you're worrying about your life. How did you get to where you are today? You got there by the good grace of God. And the same God that took care of you yesterday will take care of you today and he'll take care of you tomorrow. Amen. And so he said, don't worry about all those things. Amen. God sees the baby when nobody else sees the baby. God provides for that baby when nobody else is providing for that baby. Amen. God takes care of supplying their needs without them worrying and being anxious over it. Without you worrying and being anxious over it. All the worry in the world will not help you grow one cubit. Won't help you grow one bit. Our Lord's saying, here's some encouragement not to worry. It ain't helping. And look where you're at now. You got there without having to be so concerned about it. Amen. Verse number 28 and 29 go together. He says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Amen. These two verses go together to make one sentence. They make one sentence. Christ moves away from talking about the animal kingdom. All right, he was talking about humans and really the existence and then eternal, higher than that. But then he directed us down the scale to the animals. Now he's going to go down even further and point to the plants, to the plant life. And he says the same God that takes care of the animal takes care of the plant life. And so he points on down that plant kingdom, and he points to this lily of the field. Now here's the lily of the field are some of the most various plants there are. There's so many lilies, so many different kinds. They're copious. There's so many of them, not just so many different, diverse, but so there's a multiplication of them out there in the wild. And by the way, that's, you know what, it's one of the things to say, if you want to help birds, if you want to feed birds, plant wildflowers. That's what they say. Plant wildflowers, and it'll help feed the birds. Isn't that amazing? God just went from talking about that to talking about the plants, and he said, God takes care even of the plant and how that it lives. Amen. This plant kingdom, the flowers of the field, we instantly think about their beauty, and I'm going to deal with that. The beauty of these flowers. When I think about birds, I don't necessarily think, and not birds are beautiful, but I don't necessarily think of the beautiful bird. I don't think of the, you know, the beautiful cardinal or whatever. You use the different birds, is it black-winged redbirds or red-winged blackbirds? I don't know. What? Red-winged blackbirds, all right, that's out there. And they're beautiful. Peacocks, things, well, in some ways they're beautiful. And, but I don't think about that. I think of just a common sparrow. that's just a dull brown. God feeds them. You look, when the snow's on the ground, they're out there gobbling up whatever God's sending to them. Amen. God's taking care of them. But in this case, when you think of the flowers, especially the lily of the field, you think of a beautiful, full-bloom flower that he's talking about. The beauty of it. And so Christ tells us that the flowers, although they're delicate, although they have no ability to work nor to weave, he said they're not able to sew. They're not able to make their clothing, and yet they're arrayed with the finest clothing in the field. How is that? Because of your Father. Your Heavenly Father. Amen. Our Lord points to Israel's greatest monarch, the pinnacle. Israel looks at David as the greatest, but the richest, the most peaceful, and the most exalted, I guess you'd say, of any of the kingdoms of Israel was the days of Solomon. Solomon had the regal robes. Solomon had the royal things. I mean, all that. I mean, he really had a lot of things. He had the wealth. He had the knowledge. He had the procurements. He brought ships in from afar with all kinds of goodies on that ship, or those ships that would come in. And he said, yet in spite of all that finery, in spite of all the delicacies that those ships brought into Solomon and he knew about in his glorious days, was nothing like the field, like the flower of the field that's fixing to pass away tomorrow. Amen. He said the lilies of the field are arrayed much more beautifully than Solomon, although they can't work or weave. Now listen, I said earlier, God didn't give those animals the knowledge nor the ability to plant or to plow, but He did us. He's also give us the ability to work and to weave, to sow, to make, or in our case now, to buy goods of clothing. So if they can't even do that, I mean, when was the last time you were standing in line at Walmart behind a bunch of flowers? You might come Wednesday, that people will be standing there holding them. But they don't line up and go get clothes because they can't. But yet they're arrayed the most beautiful. Why? Because God provided for those flowers. I point out again that these are wild flowers. They're not flowers from a garden. They're not flowers from a greenhouse. They are untended by human hands. But there's somebody tending them. You go right back to that same thing about the birds. Many of those flowers are not even seen by the human eye. Nobody knows about them. You ever feel that way? Boy, I just blend in with the crowd. Nobody knows about me. I don't stand out to anybody. I'm not special to anybody. I'm not special about anything. There's a God in heaven that sees you just like He sees the flower of the field. Amen. Nobody sees them. Nobody takes care of them. Nobody provides for them. Except there is somebody that sees them. There is somebody that knows about them. There is somebody that cares for them. There is somebody that supplies their needs. Amen. That's our God. Amen. They don't have to worry about their status. It doesn't matter where they're planted. Doesn't matter where they're planted. They don't need to worry or fret. All they need to do is just bloom and be fragrant for God. That's all they need to do. Can I tell you the same is true for me and you? We don't have to worry about where God has planted us. Just bloom and be fragrant for God. Amen. Just be what God wants you to be. God takes notice of your beauty. God takes notice of your fragrance if you'll bloom for Him. Now, I mentioned that immediately when we think of the flower of the field, we think of their beauty. But that's not what Christ was pointing to. I really believe verse 28 and 29 follow verse 27 for a reason. Look back at verse 27, and I use Landon as the example. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? He's talking about, what's that talking about? Growing.
Right.
Look at verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, he doesn't say how beautiful they are. He says, notice how they grow. Notice how they grow. Here's the thing. The lily of the field does not start out the day it first comes out of the bulb. By the way, its bulb is not a beautiful thing.
Right.
And the day it first comes out from that bulb as a blade, it's not a beautiful thing. But then that blade becomes a, I don't know what you call it, another a bulb, but it's getting ready, a, a, to blossom and to bloom forth. When it's really in its beauty is when it's bloomed so well. But he's not talking about the beauty. He's talking about how it grew through those stages. There's times in life that's not always blooming times. Sometimes there's just growing times. Sometimes you're not putting out foliage. You're just supposed to stand strong and stand straight. Amen. Amen. But there will come a time if you'll keep standing strong and standing straight that God will give you some foliage. There'll come a time if you'll keep standing strong and standing straight that God will allow you to blossom and to bloom for His glory and for His honor. Don't worry about it. Just do what the flowers do. Bloom where you're planted. Amen. Just stay trusting in God and waiting on Him. Amen. Amen. Why should we take notice of this? I believe Christ is telling us that we don't need to be anxious about our food or our fashions. We don't need to be anxious about the things that are going on in our life. We just need to be thinking about standing straighter, growing stronger, and blooming brighter for the glory of God. Amen. Just keep on growing right where you are. Lilies are common and inexpensive flowers. Amen. Likewise, we don't have to worry about standing out in a crowd. Again, just standing straight and blooming for Jesus. That's all we got to worry about. You don't have to be a rose. You can be a lily. Amen. And that's what he's talking about in this. Just a common lily, and yet God takes care of them, and God notices them, and God says they're more beautiful than Solomon. In all of his glory, in his most regal scene, Solomon could not match these flowers. All right? Verse number 30 goes on. He says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Many commentators, almost all the commentators I read, commented on the fact that in Palestine and Israel, there's not an abundance of firewood. Their trees are primarily fruit trees. Matter of fact, God told Israel when He was going in conquering cities, He said, "You don't cut down their trees. You don't cut down their trees that are trees for food. Because that tree," He said, "that's a man's life." Amen. Because they needed those olive trees. They were very important to them. They needed that olive oil. Amen. And the fruit trees and things such as that, it doesn't have a lot of food or wood for fuel. They also say that, of course, there's a massive amount of wildflowers. There's wild grasses and wild flowers. But they say that a hot east wind can literally kill a field of wildflowers in 24 hours. That they can go from beautiful blossom one morning to blistered in the sun that day and worth nothing but hay to be mown down and cast into the fire. Therefore, they say that with this abundance of wild flowers and grasses, that then they'll take that vegetation after it's dead, dried up, they'll take it and cut it down and bundle it up and actually burn it for heat when they need heat, burn it for fuel for cooking with and the different things that they need it to be cooked with or heat with. All right? So here's what our Lord's saying about this. He's saying flowers are fleeting and so are fashions. It's amazing. What your mother thought was beautiful, you think is hideous. That's right, isn't it? Now, what your grandma thought was beautiful is coming back around. I get amazed at the things that how fashions make their trends and they go around in circles with those things. Amen. I remember when I was in school, the boys started turning their collars up. And I thought, and that was the cool kids. That was in the 80s, but that didn't just start in the 80s. They did that in the 60s, the 50s and the 60s. They did that. And so many different things, how that these they trend, they go around. But the thing is, they're passing, they're fleeting. And so He points to these flowers as fleeting, and He points to our fashions as fleeting, and as if He says this, why worry over them? Amen. Who was it? Was it Amber that got flowers today? Somebody here was carrying out flowers Was that who it was? Was Amber Art carrying out flowers? I guess her secret sister. Oh, your mom. Okay, your mom got. Okay, that's not a secret sister. That's another relative. Amen. Secret mom got her those flowers. Were they real? I take it they're real. They're cut flowers, right? All right, cut flowers. She's going to take them probably and put them in a vase or a vase, whichever one she finds first, and decorate. Maybe put them out on the table or put them up on somewhere where she can look at them. But she'll come by one of these days, and it won't be long, and instead of the flowers standing up so strong and beautiful, they're going to start drooping. Okay. Now here's where I'm going. It don't pay to say, oh my goodness, what in the world am I going to do? Can you believe that? That flower's wilting. It's natural. It's an act of nature. What are you going to do? There's in abundance. Go cut another one. Put it in its place. Amen. Amen. Talk to him. Tell him buy you some more. Amen. Something like it. I mean, don't pass out if he does. No, I'm kidding. Amen. But seriously, the thing is, in this thing he's saying about the flowers, flowers are fleeting, fashions are fleeting, so we don't have to worry so much about them because we know they are short-lived or short-lived. Just like the grass. Here today, he said, gone tomorrow. Seeing then that you are much more valuable to him than the flower is, and noticing that he notices the flowers. When he said, you ought to consider the lilies of the field, what he's really saying is, consider the lilies and notice how God cares for the lilies. And if you'll consider that, you got to think he cares more for me than he does for flowers. You got to recognize that if he's going to take care of those flowers, it's here today, gone tomorrow. And our life seems almost that fast, and the Bible talks about it. In some of those same terms and terminology. But he said, not only do we have a lifespan much longer than the flowers, we have a never-dying soul going to be somewhere for eternity. Amen. God cares so much more for us than he does for flowers. And if he cares for the flowers that's growing up today, cast into the furnace tomorrow, don't you think he'd care more for me and you? Amen. And I'm not sure that there's not a little inference in there about be careful that you're not headed to the oven when you get wilted and when it's your time to pass. Make sure you're headed to a better place than the oven. Amen. Verse number 31 and 32 again go together. He says, wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? That statement's just a rehearsal of statements he's made already. Verse 32 carries it on. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. The admonition is repeated again, declaring, don't be overly concerned about earthly things, even though they are real needs. Even though they are necessities. One thing that I notice about these needs and necessities is that they're constants. Amen. Constants. I mentioned about Landon. One of the reasons he's growing like he is, it's because he's eating like he does. Amen. The same's true with all these little ones, or those of us that's not so little anymore. But the thing is it is a constant. You can get fed today, you're going to need to be fed again tomorrow. Or before then. You can buy clothes today, it's not going to be long, you're going to have to be buying clothes again. Because you're eating like you're eating. And no, I'm kidding. But seriously, you buy clothes today, they're going to wear out. That is a constant need. That's what he's saying. These are constant things. And he said, don't worry about those constant needs, those carnal needs. Those are the things that the Gentiles are worrying about. Your Father is not an earthly Father. He's a heavenly Father. He'll care for earthly things, but He wants you to be thinking about heavenly things. That's His whole point. In the whole nutshell of this, He's dealing with that. Get your mind on those heavenly things. It appears to me that Christ is pointing to the fact that there are going to be constant needs so long as we live on this earth. Therefore, there's going to be a constant need for us to trust God. There's going to be a constant demand upon us that we rely upon His care. Everyone, even heathens, need to eat and they need clothing. Amen. But followers of Christ have been awakened to a much higher need than the heathens are awakened to. We recognize needs that far transcend food and fashions. Amen. We recognize not only that it's a greater need, it's a greater necessity. There's a higher necessity than just food and raiment. The Gentiles see that, but that's all they see. The Gentiles want to carry their little lucky rabbit's foot to bring them good luck, to help them win the lottery the next time they spend their money at the lottery station. They're just wanting to, you know what they're wanting? Food and fashion. They're wanting this world, that's what they're wanting. They're wanting more of this world, that's all their mind can concentrate on. They're not thinking about heaven and hell. They're not thinking about eternity somewhere. Jesus said, don't get in the same trap that they're in, that all you think about is this world. Amen. And we studied verse number 26 about the fowl of the air and the wild birds. I referenced to you the fact that God fed the children of Israel with bread from heaven every day for 40 years. He also did something about their clothing. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. He's talking about food and raiment. And God took care of the children of Israel for 40 years, wandering in the wilderness on their journey to Canaan land. God took care of their food and their raiment. Verse number 2 of Deuteronomy chapter number 8. I'd love to read quite a bit, but I'll read verse 2 down through verse 6. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. God was testing Israel for 40 years, that's what He said. They tempted Him for those 40 days. He said, I'm going to test you now for 40 years. Now He did let all that older generation die to prove, they said, God brought us out here to make our children be given over to these giants. God said, all right, I'll let your children conquer the giants, but you're going to die by the wayside. And God let that happen in that 40-year span. But also in that 40-year span, God brought the children of Israel through and led them along day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, 40 long years that they wandered, and yet God fed them every day, and God kept their clothes on their back and kept their shoes on their feet. God did that. How did He do it? He did it in supernatural ways. Miraculously dropping bread out of heaven. Amen. Supernaturally letting their clothes not wax old, He said. Amen. Letting their feet not swell. That seems to say that their shoes didn't get too tight, that they fit them well, even though they were walking all that long journey. But God said He did it to test them, to try their heart, He said in verse number 5. Consider thine heart, that as man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. God was looking at these children of Israel to see if they would look to Him for their needs, if they would trust Him, and if they would obey Him. Because why didn't they go in at Kadesh Barnea? Why didn't they go conquer the giants then? Because they didn't trust God. Because they didn't obey God. Because they saw their problems too big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. But you don't have to worry about how you look to them. Your ideas, look how God looks at them. How they look to God. They're less than grasshoppers in the sight of God. I'll tell you, a lot of times our problems, we look like grasshoppers to our problems because our problems look so big. God don't want us worrying about how big the problem is. God wants us to trust Him and obey Him. That's what He said to these children of Israel. Now, they wouldn't go in, and so He's wanting to wean them off of the doubt and the distrust and get them to learn to trust Him day by day by day. Can I tell you that Christ said, your Heavenly Father, back in our text, your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows you're going to be hungry in the morning. God knows you're going to need clothes. God knows you're going to have constant, daily, continual needs. You don't have to worry about it. God's going to take care of those needs. Just like your Father took care of the fowls of the air, surely He'll do the same for you and me. Back to our text, verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That verse I covered pretty extensively this morning. I'm not going to cover it here, but just let me reiterate that Christ is pointing our focus away from earthly things, getting our focus on heavenly treasures. And He's telling us, listen, you are not being equipped for heaven when you're clinging to the earth. You've got to turn loose of the things of the earth that you might be equipped for heaven when that day comes. Amen. That's what He's doing. He's working on getting us equipped while we're here on earth. Verse number 34, the last verse. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Boy, there it is again. Don't worry so much about tomorrow. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now with the previous verse, told us where our heart should be. This verse tells us where our heart should not be. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then He says, but don't think and worry about tomorrow. Amen. Where it should be. If we need food and clothing today, as we do, our Heavenly Father provides that. Amen. He does, doesn't He? He says, don't tempt Him. Don't tempt God by distrusting Him for tomorrow. Amen. He's feeding you today. You can trust Him to feed you tomorrow. He's clothing you today. You can trust Him to clothe you tomorrow. He's saying, don't borrow troubles from tomorrow. Today has enough troubles of its own. You're not going to lessen tomorrow's troubles by trying to take from them and add them to today's troubles. Amen. But I believe you'll also find that with today's troubles, there's mingled enough grace. Amen. God has given us grace for the troubles of the day. That when as your day is, so shall your strength be. Isn't that what God said? Amen. God gives us the strength that we need day by day. Turn to Lamentations. I almost wouldn't have you turn there because that's hard to find. Lamentations chapter number 3. Little bitty book right after the book of Jeremiah. It's written by Jeremiah. It's actually the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Right before the book of Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter number 3. Talking about tomorrow. Worrying about tomorrow. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, He said, when I remember the fact that the reason I'm alive today is because of the good grace of God. The reason I'm here today is because thy compassions fail not. You've loved me to this point. Lord, I'll trust You to love me on. Amen. Amen. Matthew Henry states it like this. He says, this present day has trouble enough attending to it. We need not accumulate burdens by anticipating our trouble, nor borrow perplexities from tomorrow's evils to add to those of this day. It is uncertain what tomorrow's evils may be, but whatever they be, it is time enough to take thought about them when they come. What folly it is to take that trouble upon ourselves this day by care and fear, which belongs to another day and will never the lighter be when it comes. Amen. John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, he said this. I thought this was really good. He said, I compare the troubles which we have to undergo in the course of a year as a great bundle of faggots. And by the way, that's a slang word they use talking about homosexual sodomites. This is the word in the old days they talk about faggots are sticks that's to be burned. A bundle of sticks, all right? I compare the troubles that we have to undergo in the course of a year, a whole year of troubles, to a great bundle of faggots, far too large for us to lift. But God does not require us to carry the whole load at once. He, God, mercifully unties the bundle and gives us first one stick, which we're to carry today, and then another, which we can carry tomorrow, and so on. Praise God, that's right. Don't try to carry the whole load at one time. Trust God. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God's saying, really, you got enough to carry today. Don't add with tomorrow's baggage. Amen. So, in conclusion, let me ask this. In dealing with these thoughts, our Lord weaning us from the things of the world. Don't let the world wow you, and don't let the world worry you. Don't live so in the world that you can't be on a higher plane. Set your affection on things above. Amen. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. So, what do you worry over? Is it possible that you and I need to behold the fowls of the air a little more? Is it possible that we need to consider the lilies of the field a little more? Have we thanked our Heavenly Father for supplying our needs even when we were not thinking about it? When we were that little one-celled and multiplying to a full-grown infant or a fully developed infant. God did all that without the help of any man. Amen. God can take care of our problems without our help trying to add to those things. Amen. I started quoting that song, Why Should I Worry or Fear or Dread? That chorus, Bring Your Burdens and Come to Me. It says, Hear Jesus calling, come unto me. Come and I'll give you rest. Bring every burden and I'll set you free. Bring your burdens and come to me. Our Lord's saying, consider not only the lilies, consider your Father that considers the lilies. Consider your Father that feeds the fowls. And don't worry about your troubles. Keep your eyes on a higher plane for the glory of God. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have a time of invitation as they're coming with a song. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your goodness and grace. Thank You that Your compassions have failed not. Your compassions have been new every morning, and when we need You tomorrow, You'll be in tomorrow. You're already there. We don't need to borrow extra troubles. We don't need to tack on tomorrow's troubles to today's. Help us, Your God, trust You with today. And when tomorrow comes, to trust You with tomorrow. Help us, dear God, to live for You and bloom where we're planted and sing like the birds. Because although we were once wild, You brought us into Your home. We're now Your children, and You provide for us. Help us to glorify You. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. If you need to do business with the Lord, whatever you need to do while we sing, you obey the Lord.